Hello, my name is Brian Owoszelski, and welcome to the Over the Counter podcast. Today we are joined by Steve Moore, the owner of Condo Pharmacy in Plattsburgh, New York, with over 30 years of experience in pharmacy practice. He's here today to celebrate American Pharmacist Month by discussing community pharmacy innovations that are improving patient outcomes. Welcome and thank you so much for joining me today, Steve.
Yeah, Brian, thank you very much for having me. Thrilled to be here.
So today we're going to be discussing innovative programs, initiatives, and partnerships in the community and how they're impacting patient outcomes. To start, Steve, what are some of the services or initiatives at your pharmacy that patients in the community seem to hold the most value towards?
Yeah, first and foremost, I'll start by saying that here in New York, our scope of practice is unfortunately restricted relative to that of our peers in other states. So we're not able to do everything that some of our peers are doing, our colleagues are doing, some of the great work, but we're still working hard. We've got a great team here at Condo Pharmacy, and we're working with both our state society, PISNY, with CPSN, with NCPA to update our scope here in New York, and hopefully lots of great stuff to come soon. But in the meantime, COVID, for all the problems associated with COVID did move the pharmacy profession forward here in New York. We are doing point of care testing. Believe it or not, we weren't able to offer all adult immunizations prior to COVID. We had a list, so we're able to offer more immunizations. That's a very big service for patients, something people seem to appreciate the convenience of coming to a pharmacy for, more so than having to schedule an appointment at a doctor's office that may understandably be weeks or months away. Working with the state, with the Board of Pharmacy, and with other stakeholders here to bring test and treat to New York. So we have it through teaching hospitals right now, collaborative practice agreements, but the rest of us are excited for the opportunity to expand that into the community setting. And I think this time of year with the flu season, respiratory season coming up, it always hits home. Hey, why go all over the place when I can visit one spot? I go to pharmacy, I can get tested. It's flu, it's RSV, it's COVID. I can get treated in the same spot. Just makes a lot of sense for everybody. And I think both our patients and I think our fellow clinicians, our physicians, our nurse practitioners, our PAs, our nurses, they're busy enough. So if that's something that pharmacy can do, it's a win-win for all of us.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. Obviously, it's great to see those services be held in the community. But on the other side of that, I feel like a lot of challenges within pharmacy overarching, they talk about reimbursement, stuff like that. But there are also state-by-state challenges that pharmacists are kind to try to maneuver. I really appreciate that. So on the other side of kind of what services patients value the most, are there concerns that your patients have raised that impact the greater community? If so, how have your team gone about addressing those concerns? So what just about maybe like patient care in general, those concerns?
Yeah, I think unfortunately the secret's out that it's not a good time for pharmacy right now. You know, so patients are concerned not only about what we call enhanced services and all these clinical care services, they're concerned about just getting the prescriptions on time in a timely manner. Do we have access to the third-party plans? Restricted networks, there's a major PBM, Express Scripts, that has pretty much decided it's not going to work with any of the PSAOs that's contracting with pharmacies independently. But if you're not in their pharmacy network, you're not in their More Than Rx clinical care service network. So patients may not have access to a pharmacy, even though there's one down the street. But there is some concern that we've heard from both sides of the aisle about immunizations in particular. I think that's been in the news a lot for a number of different reasons. So people wonder what was going to happen with the COVID vaccine, for instance, this year, what was going to happen with the flu vaccine. And we've been able to have conversations. We work with some senior homes and everything. And yes, your patients are still going to be eligible for RSV as they hit that certain age. What's going to happen with COVID? Well, we might not have known that a month ago. We're starting to get a better idea of what's going to happen as we move forward day by day. And hopefully by this time next month, we're even more sure. But we've got the flu vaccine, the immunization, that's going to happen as normal. So we've been able to reassure people as we get our supply. I think it's been interesting. Some people are really anxious to get the shots this year, whereas before they've maybe been willing to wait a little bit longer. So we still encourage people, hey, probably closer to October, you're still a little bit early right now. So if you can wait, we'd encourage you to do that just to get you through flu season. But I think where we've seen some hesitancy in the past, those people who want to get their immunizations are making sure that they're going to be able to.
Awesome. Yeah, obviously, it's great to see you guys providing these services, but also it's interesting to see the patient preferences evolve throughout your time.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think the biggest challenge we have as a pharmacy is we've been in this community for a number of years. We're very fortunate to be in the position we are as a trusted healthcare provider. We don't take that for granted at all. But when we can't even get into networks, you know, we can't bill third parties, or whether it's restricted on the PBM side, whether it's restricted to the medical side, although we are seeing pharmacies get involved in more medical billing, that's less of an obstacle than it was a couple of years ago. We're excited for that opportunity here at the pharmacy. But the barriers to care that are put in place by payers, they're unnecessary. And I think that they've actually grown to a point where they are going to be detrimental this year, unfortunately. We used to have a base, we're a base community. It was closed in the 90s, but we have a lot of retirees. And if we're not in the TRICARE network, for instance, we can't immunize those patients. And if they're patients whose homes we used to go into, we hit that last mile. Those independents, that tends to be where, you know, we fill in the gaps. And yeah, I may be able to go into somebody's house, whereas a chain pharmacist may not have that same flexibility through no fault of their own. But if we can't do that this year, how are those patients going to get immunized? So we're going to have to figure that one out.
Awesome. Yeah, I really appreciate you giving us the state of pharmacy, how you guys are involved with that, and especially where patients fall into that.
Yeah. And if you look at the big chains, for instance, they just closed. Walgreens got bought out, and you have an influx of patients into the existing pharmacies at quite possibly our busiest time of the year. So you're adding flu shots to new patient transfers to new meds. It's quite a chaotic time in pharmacy right now. And I think that we've got to make sure that we're supporting our pharmacists, or and not only our pharmacists, but, you know, our teams, technicians, or at least my view has always been technicians aren't high school students who pull off the street. They're healthcare professionals. They are trained. They are skilled. Could not run my pharmacy without the great ones that we have. So I think that we need to be supporting our team members, whether they're the technicians, whether they're the clerks out front who serve as the face of our pharmacy, our delivery drivers and our community health workers who are the face of our pharmacy to patients and businesses and persons outside of the four walls of condo pharmacies. We need to make sure that our team members are supported and then our colleagues are supported. Right now, as I know people who throughout New York, all the Rite Aid's closed, and I've got colleagues who are staying late 12 hours, 14 hour days just to try to catch up with the influx, and they're doing everything they can. But like I said, this is possibly the busiest time of the year coming up and not an ideal time to take the extra work on.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's a good segue to talking about the collaboration in pharmacy practice. And like you said, those team members, those essential team members. So can you just summarize what the importance of collaboration in the pharmacy industry is and how it can help improve the delivery of these services?
Yeah. So first and foremost, a pharmacist, we go to school for a specific degree, a specific license, and I think we've heard about practicing at the top of our license for years and decades. And that's probably what a lot of us want to be doing. But you've got to make sure that the right prescription gets to the right patient at the right time, and you're going to need help to do that. So the collaboration starts within the walls of your pharmacy. Like I said, with your technicians, with your clerks, with your you might have a dietitian on staff now. You might have a nutritionist. You might have a respiratory therapist. You might have all sorts of stuff. Pharmacists are working with nurses, you know, and nursing colleagues. We did during COVID. We continue to do. Pharmacists are working with physicians and nurse practitioners in direct care models, which are pretty exciting, where you're putting a clinic right inside the pharmacy. So lots of opportunity for collaboration. I think technology's made it easier to collaborate with our colleagues who are in different physical locations as well. One of the challenges we've had is we're seeing a lot of the independent practices get bought up by health systems. There's a number of reasons for that. And it's a little bit different working with a big health system as an independent pharmacy owner than with a Dr. Smith who had to practice a block and a half away. So we do have to figure out a way to overcome that. Health systems they've got a lot of incentives to keep things in-house, especially with pharmacy and 340B. So we've got to figure out that little issue before that becomes too much of an access problem. But I think you just want to be there for the patients and be a resource for your healthcare provider colleagues so that when the time comes, they know that they can count on you.
Awesome. Yeah, very well said. Diving into what you guys have been up to, have you partnered with specific organizations or companies to promote healthcare and the social well-being of patients in your community?
Yeah, so we're pretty excited to partner with, and I'm going to say payers. And I don't mean third parties, the ultimate payers. Like if you think of an employer or a health plan or that type of thing, they've started to see some of the issues we're having with middlemen in our industry. And so they're working directly with pharmacies to provide care or working with a local school district. It's a consortium of school districts and the community, the independents in the area, not because we excluded anybody, but just because we all said, we're willing to do this. We're working to move into medical billing space so that we can bill direct to this district for, say, a COVID test. If they want to see a positive, or excuse me, not a positive, a negative test for a teacher before they go back to school, hey, we can do that. We can bill the school directly so that the teacher doesn't have to pay out of pocket and then submit a receipt. So we're excited for that opportunity. It's baby steps, if it makes sense. But we think that we see an opportunity there to bring, hey, that first level of service and to expand on that to second, third, and fourth orders.
Awesome. Yeah. So I think this has been a great discussion about how services have expanded past medications and all the healthcare players that are really important for to improve patient care in the future. So are there additional opportunities regarding pharmacy partnerships or collaborations that you think have not really been explored in the greater pharmacy industry?
Yeah. So I think right now you're seeing there's a lot of incredible pharmacists in this country. There's a lot of talented people. And one of my personal frustrations with pharmacy these last couple of years is not with pharmacy, but it's like we've been so focused on PBMs and the payment model and just surviving that we've lost a lot of chance to innovate. And there's a lot of smart people, brilliant people who are in this field and profession. And so I think right now we have a lot of N equals one things happening, if that makes sense. You may have somebody in Missouri, somebody like a Trip Logan who is doing some fantastic work. You may have somebody in Florida who's doing fantastic work. You've got Georgia, you've got New York City. We've got colleagues down there who, I've got a colleague who dropped a trailer outside of his pharmacy and he renovated it. And it is a community health clinic that he dropped in the middle of the Bronx. And he's the type of guy who can do it and get away with it. And God bless him. It's an incredible thing for his community and for his patients. And so there's a lot of N equals one right now. And I think as we come out of COVID and we're dealing with these payment challenges, and I hope we can fix them. We're working very hard to do that. But I think it'd be great if we could see some of the innovation that I think pharmacy, if you look back through pharmacy, pharmacists have come up with a lot of great stuff. So I think if we free pharmacists up, it's only going to help the healthcare arena and help our patients. But lots of great work. I encourage everybody to be involved with your state societies, with your national associations. It's how we hear about what other people are doing. But if my colleague in Arkansas is doing such a great job and he tells me about what he's doing, oh man, I might be able to try that too. And that's how we heard about monoclonal antibodies. We ended up in during COVID, had a colleague in Arkansas who was like, hey, I signed up with ABC. They let me do it. And that afternoon we had signed up and we were getting monoclonal antibodies. And so I think it's incredibly important that we network and we stay in touch with our colleagues, both in the state, throughout the country.
Awesome. I think that was perfectly said. I think we touched on everything here and just how pharmacy is evolving and what it's going to look like in the near future. It's awesome to see your insights and how you and your team has the finger on the pulse. So I really appreciate you taking the time today.
Hey, I appreciate you thinking of me. Appreciate all you guys do. Big fan. Been reading it for decades. So
thank you so much. You have a great rest of your day.
Okay. Thanks, Brian. I'll talk to you later.